The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. And as listeners may or may not remember, we also have an open case, the healthcare detective on the case, his own, and that's his UPenn clinical trial. I think I've got that all right. Anyway, he is reporting live from Philly. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm back down here in Philly. Now, we came down a couple of days ago. This is for my two-year checkup on the clinical trial, highly experimental, and I'm going to give you the results of that. I think listeners, may recall, I have a blood cancer. It's called multiple myeloma. I've had it since 2008. It hasn't been too bad. I mean, who wants a cancer? But it hasn't been too bad until a couple of years ago. And that's when the chemo cocktails and everything else they could throw at me, little by little, they stopped working. And I was kind of running out of options. Luckily, with the help of my doctors at Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York City, I got into a clinical trial at the University of Pennsylvania. It's actually the Perelman Center for Advanced Medicine. That's Ron Perelman's father, a real philanthropist. It's a spaceship kind of facility. They're absolutely at the cutting edge of medicine. I was very lucky, got into the trial. And the trial has worked now up to this two-year hurdle that patients face. So I've been in complete remission now. I call it remish, okay? Don't push your luck. But for 2 years, I've been fine. So now I had to come back down to Philly a couple of days ago for a head-to-toe PET scan to see if the tumors in my body, and I have many of them, they're tiny, and do they continue to shrivel and look actually end up being like little dried-out raisins and no threat to me whatsoever, or have they kicked back into action? So that's the two-year hurdle I face. So before I tell you how that worked out, I love Philly, and Jill, you love to hear about the restaurants down here.
That's
in Philly.
Right. And well, we know because you told your listeners last week that you guys were going to go for a little bit of a few days, and we know also that Philadelphia is rather civilized. And now I know that you have a daughter who's got a ceramicist who's got some of her works in one of the restaurants. So
absolutely. So there's a place called Hiroki. It's named for a guy named Hiroki. It's a new Japanese high class omakase, you know, what they're making for you that night joint in Fishtown, hot neighborhood. And it was terrific. And yes, they do feature my daughter's bowls, along with other ceramicists, very particular stuff, very military precision. You've got to be there at 8. You sit down at 8:05. All the little dishes are lined up and so on. They take away your chopsticks for the sushi flight, which comes at the end of, because you're supposed to eat that with your hands, the way they do in Japan. And it's at the end of the meal where you think, oh, my God, it's been a fabulous meal. I'm so satisfied. And then along comes this whole sushi flight. So that's one great place, Hiroki. Then we went to Little Nona's, a little Italian joint. They feature Neapolitan ragu, like my wife makes. Sensational. And then there's another restaurant called The Love, which is right across the street from the hotel that we always stay in, and that's the AKA Rittenhouse, right on Rittenhouse Square. It's a residential hotel, and I'm actually in a second floor suite that they set me up for today, overlooking the Rittenhouse Square, all the downtown shops. My wife used it while I was in the trial. It went on for a month, and it allowed her to have our daughters join us and from time to time, and also for her to get away from the hospital, walk around the neighborhood, go to the shops. There's Barney's around the corner and Bloomingdale's and the local shops here. And so anyway, so our good friend here is Mahika Bega. She takes good care of us. So I highly recommend the AKA Rittenhouse for any trips down here. And the restaurants and the museums are fabulous. So back to me and my trial.
And just because there's always anticipation mm-hmm. whatever, you know, whenever there are scans or tests or whatever, do you know up front that there's something else that can be done if it doesn't work out the way everyone wants it to?
Yes, because from time to time, I have two doctors that I meet with regularly, right? At Memorial Sloan Kettering, I have Sergio Garalt, and we talk about, okay, if this stuff stops working, what do we do? And then down here at the University of Pennsylvania, I've got Edward Stockmauer and Ed and I talk about, okay, if there comes a point where this doesn't work, what will we do? And there's a debate about what the next steps would be depending on reaction. So, no, I'm not out of all options, and that's – but, you know, look, I'm not taking any cancer drugs right now up to this trial, up to this checkup I just had, because I don't have any cancerous activity, and no drugs makes you healthy. I mean, these cancer drugs are tough on you. So there's always something else you can take, but you don't want to unless you have to. So it's essentially 2 years to this day, actually, that I had the clinical trial. And, you know, it sounds like science fiction or medical fiction, but this is the way to this is the best way to cure cancer and get two cures for cancer that anyone knows about it. And that's when using your own immune system to attack your own cancer. So the way it works is you go on into a clinical setting, and it's like giving blood. It's a little transfusion. The blood is run through a machine that extracts your T cells. We all have them. There's the white blood cells, but these are fierce fighters of cancer. And they're taken to the lab, and they're turned into fighters of your specific mutations. These are the proteins that sit on top of your cancer cells and camouflage them. This stuff says, aha, I hate that camouflage, and attacks the cells. When that happens, you get a fever because you're disrupting your system, obviously. I had fevers for 22 of 24 days, which set all kinds of records down here, and that was actually a very good sign. So, look, up to now, this trial has worked great. So I'm among only three of about 21 people who actually got into the trial. They looked at 33, only 20 or 21 of us got in. Only three of us got what is called a durable response, which means you get 2 years or a little bit more than 2 years, as in my case. This I did not know, Jill. One person in the trial, and that's one within the 20 who actually got treated, not just considered, but treated. One of them has died. The other thing, and he was very sick going in, and he died at day 24 of the trial. I also did not know that counting from the beginning of the trial to now, so we're dealing with 20 people, something like that, even people who were helped, of them, 13 have died. So this is still early days and it's still experimental. And the few of us who've gotten 2 years without any cancer are quite fortunate. And then the question is, and this is the real medical question that they're trying to get to, why me? Why this guy Lally? One person died, 13 others died later. Why is this guy Lally doing so well? Now, I think, honestly, I think part of it is all the support I've gotten from family, friends, and loved ones, including people like you and others who've just been cheering me on and lighting candles for me, and infidels who prayed for me. And I think that all really matters. There's possibly, on the scientific side, the way my T cells were harvested, I think, had an impact on my treatment as well. So back to 2010, remember, I got the cancer in 2008, but then back it was not serious, and we didn't really treat it until 2010 when it started to act up. Back in 2010, I got a chemo cocktail, and that nearly knocked out the cancer for a while. I was almost in complete remission, but not quite. Anyway, at that point, they harvested my T cells. They went in for that transfusion. They took a little bag full of my T cells, which are, you know, peach colored, and they put it in the refrigerator against the day that I would need these T cells to be reprogrammed to attack my mutation. So they just sat around and waited. So The theory is that, therefore, I had these, essentially, these were T cells that were 8 years younger than I actually am. They were taken from me when I had virtually no multiple myeloma, just the barest amount. So these were relatively healthy T cells. Now, listen to this, Jill. What if we can skip that step, okay? What if we can go to outside donors? And I'm not talking about identical twins now. I'm talking about people walking on the street. What if we can go to outside donors and get them to donate their very healthy T cells, and then those T cells go to the lab, and in the lab, these researchers manipulate, re-engineer the cells so that they're universal CAR Ts. That is, they can be engineered to attack specific mutations common to multiple myeloma. So there are proteins like BCMA, CD19, these camouflage cancer cells. They're very common. Almost everyone with multiple myeloma has a lot of them. What if they can make it attack those cells, those proteins, plus take out anything in the T cell that would interfere with the effectiveness? So now, instead of one-on-one medicine, my T cells to the lab, back to me, what about donor T cell re-engineered into a universal T cells that could go to multiple people? Now, that's a real breakthrough. The experiments have started at the University of Pennsylvania. I learned on this trip, not only there, I think there, it's also happening in Boston, might be happening in other places. And that will be revolutionary.
Right.
Because then CAR T as an option can be an option as soon as you're diagnosed. It's what doctors call first line, or researchers call first line treatment. So there are about 40,000 people who get multiple myeloma every year, and any number of those have serious cases. And instead of going through the chemo and going through a stem cell transplant, instead of any of that, they're saying, well, hold on a minute. Let's just get these donor cells, make it again, and get this universal T cell, and let's make that available to people. Far more people would be able to get this immunotherapy. There would be less suffering because you'd be getting treated rather than waiting for and see if these
other
lineup
things work.
Of chemo drugs can work or not work.
Right.
And all those chemo drugs take a toll, as everyone knows. And here's the other key point, Jill.
Right,
this would greatly drive down the cost.
Quite right. And that's what I was thinking of, because you are down to your two-minute warning. But I will say, when we first started talking about this, you know, one of the things was how special it was, how you had to do all the other things to get to this point.
That's
and
right.
And if it works, I mean, imagine how much better your body is going to be just not having to go through all those other things to get to this point of no return when you get to, with any luck, return.
Right. My very good friend, Dr. Eric Rose, who, by the way, has a house up in Sharon, said to me, why are you going through that stem cell? I don't think that's really going to help you. You should be going directly for the T cell. So, yeah. So when I went through the stem cell, was able to use my harvested T cells, which are relatively clean and healthy and 8 years younger than I am. Well, the stem cell didn't do anything, but I have these new T cells in my body. Okay. So it's almost like being diagnosed immediately and getting to CAR T. So it greatly drive down the, look, the cost of this medicine is treatments is
still
something
staggering.
Anywhere from $375,000
yeah,
to $500,000. You put in the hospital stay, it's over $1 million. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah.
If we can go to a universal T cell, oh my God, and imagine a universal T cell that they could mass manufacture, and you've got donors, oh, more. That,
and
now you're
still,
changing the whole game.
Right, and still not charge that much for it. So, in your final 20
how'd
seconds, how'd you do?
Yeah, so how'd I do? I did fine. I felt good, and therefore they said, look, you'd be feeling it if the tumors were acting up. Sounds a good theory. But actually, hey, maybe they're right. So I have no cancer activity, so I have no cancer meds. continuing now for more than 2 years because I'm cancer-free. And I got to tell you, Jill, this is one of the reasons I love Philadelphia. There is Hiroki and a little notice and the Love restaurant across the street, the AKA at Rittenhouse Square. Those are things to love about Philly. But coming down here and getting affirmed that I do not have cancer, I remain cancer-free, makes Philly a favorite place for me.
Thank you, Frank. Congratulations, Frank. The healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online and in store. And then we've got Nina Deshiu's Lally, her ceramics at Hiroki in Philadelphia.